Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Mead. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
All right, morning enthusiasts. Do you struggle to get out of bed in the morning? How about losing your energy by midday? Do you experience brain fog in the morning or lack of motivation? Well, you are not alone. I heard you loud and clear, and that's why I created the Hit Savers app. I have great news. It is live. So go to the Google Play Store and the Apple Store to download it for your best morning routine ever. You'll get more energy, mental clarity, productivity, and it will even position you to find your purpose. That's right. Hit Savers will prime you to get up, dress up, and show up in your life every single day. Go to www.luneedlewis.com/hitsaversapp to download it for free today. I'll see you in there. Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Luneed Lewis, and I have the honor of introducing a very special guest to the show, Michael Zhao. Michael is a friend. Call him Mike. We both are part of the San Diego Entrepreneurs Meetup Mastermind that he actually and another partner runs here in San Diego. And it's really nice to have other Christians who are business owners to fellowship. So I'm super grateful to have joined this group, but also to have met Michael. And so let's get into Mike. Mike is a believer in God, a husband, and a father. He is also an educator, an advisor, and an investor in numerous things. After getting referred into the mortgage industry, Mike really took off and began to really dive into the real estate business. Mike has owned a small business and has had a medium-sized business and one that employed up to 120 people at that time. He has since then invested, wholesale, and flipped properties in San Diego. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. I am really excited to have you on board because I want to talk about God. I want to talk about real estate, investing. But before we get into all that, let's tell the audience a little bit about your background and your journey that got you here today.
Okay, sure. Actually, it started out when I was in college when I had renewed faith in God. And then I began to serve full time with high school and young people and college students and in college. After about a year or so doing it full time and serving in ministry, my future wife and having some fellowship with everybody, we just wasn't able to support us as a couple. So I had to go get a job. Well, people would ask me, even with my degree in economics, you know, what have you been doing for the last few years? And I'd say, well, I've been serving God and his ministry with high school and young people. And even though I had the experience with various internships, it was just really challenging. That was in the mid-90s, just after the SNL crisis. And so to be able to find a position was hard. And so I could only find one job, and that was actually in the collections business. So I was a bill collector for about a year and did it actually fairly well with the type of heart that I have and the type of communication that I had with various people. So I got referred to the mortgage industry by another former collector. And then that's when it started. So from late 96 to today, I've been in the real estate mortgage industry, helping hundreds of people either refinancing or buying homes in that way. I've been a real estate investor as well. Interestingly enough, in the first 10 years of my career, I didn't buy any investments. All I did was fund them for a lot of people. And then after the market crash, that's when I began to make investments. So that's where I've been at now.
Okay. So you started off as an investor.
I started off as a mortgage broker and then became an investor eventually.
Okay, so you've been in the game for years, Mike.
Oh, yeah, since 96.
Since 96. So, you know, you understand, you've seen the market shift, you've seen the market change, like 2008, you were in the midst of that. Did you, how was that for the industry?
To be quite frank with you, it was really hard for me. My income had dropped by what? 80%.
Wow.
Let's see here. We sold my house and bought another house that was less costly. It was extremely challenging. Took a lot of, and I think that what really was really interesting is that I had a lot of success in the mortgage business, but really leaning on my own faith. Actually my own strength, my own abilities, my own trusting myself, but not really trusting in God's will. Now, that doesn't mean I wasn't serving. It doesn't mean I wasn't doing anything for God's will. It just meant that I was really relying upon myself, my natural talents. And then during that downturn, really dig deep in really looking to find out what it is that the Lord was really looking to accomplish, not only in my life, but in my whole family's life. Mm-hmm. Cancer had struck our family in the form of, from 2008 to 2012, I had my mother, father-in-law, brother-in-law, sister-in-law all pass away from cancer.
Wow.
And so I know we didn't talk about that, but you know, it's challenging for my wife, my kids, they're close to their grandparents and their aunts and uncles. So to go through these challenging times in our family with my wife and her six siblings and so on, be considered somewhat of a rock for our family. So go through that emotions, all the family members coming to our home and just working through that. It was a challenge, especially with the economic downturn. And so to make investment decisions during that same time and really begin to dig deep into learning for all that, there was a lot of transformation, a lot of prayer, and a lot of growing. Mm-hmm. Still am, by the way. Mm-hmm. Still am growing.
Yeah, you got hit from all sides. Family matters, and then the market, and they said, what's a man to do?
Pray.
Yeah, it really brings you to your knees when your back is against the wall.
Oh, more than your knees sometimes.
And so it's good that you have that faith. And you mentioned that prior to that, you were going on your own merit, right? Your own capability, your own skills, your own talent. You were holding down the fort and running the show until things got really hard. And then you just had to surrender it all.
Yeah. And it wasn't that I didn't know, because as a Christian, especially when your faith is fairly strong, or if you have a renewed belief, it's really easy to think that God's blessing you. And I believe that He really was blessing us. Don't get me wrong. However, it's even easier to lean on your own natural talents, your strengths, your mind, especially. I consider myself fairly intelligent. I mean that humbly still. And you just say, I can do this. And I've done this before. And my experience shows me that I can do this in a greater capacity. And you just keep going and going and going. And all of a sudden, when beyond your control, everything crashes around you, you're left at a standstill. I think it's pretty unique that we're in this very similar environment all of a sudden in 2020.
Right.
And it just didn't hit me as hard. Mm-hmm. Because what I've been doing even greater, especially with service with San Diego Christian Entrepreneurs, in my leadership in ministry with young people and college students, and even in the church, even in giving financially more during challenging times, I think having renewed faith, I know having renewed faith in giving is even more important. I know that I could talk about business, but really I want to talk about how having the willingness, I think that's the real key, the willingness to give out of a pure heart is pretty important, especially during these times. And I know that when you rely on yourself, it's challenging. Mm-hmm. So to give more and to do more is something that I know it's important for us, especially with our faith.
Yeah, because the word says, he is faithful with little will be faithful over many, mm-hmm. will have much more. And so the opportunity to give back actually makes your cup overflow. And it's hard to trust that. And then God designed us to be servants. To be servant leaders, to be givers, to add value to other people's lives, right?
Yes.
We're not in this world alone where we're codependent upon each other, but we're part of the body.
That's right.
Of Christ. Yeah.
When God called us to be fishers of men, He didn't call us to be dead fish.
Right.
He called Peter to be a living stone, and He called us for Him to live in our heart, to make home in our heart. Mm-hmm. Not so that He could be dormant and not have any expression. So for us to be members of the body, one of another, and to have our minds renewed so that we can help uplift and enrich our Christian brothers and sisters around us, mm-hmm. is part of our calling.
Yeah. And I'm thinking back about the story you're saying, you know, when your back was against the wall and you had to get on your knees and go back to find your foundation and your anchor. Now, for listeners, for people who are listening, what can you tell them if they are, if they feel like their back's against the wall at this moment with the crisis, with the racial prejudice going on in our country, with the COVID? What would you say as a man of God, as a businessman of God, what would your word be to those who feel like hope is lost?
This is what I was telling my kids, and so I'll tell your listeners as well, is that God calls us to be united. And whatever your personal belief is, whatever your opinions are, if it causes you to have an argument, if it causes you to make any divisive decision, saying I'm on this side or I am on this side, really seek out the body and then seek and also seek God at the same time. Because anything that causes division is what Satan wants. Mm-hmm. I've seen Christian brothers and sisters have difference of opinion many times before. And all that comes from the enemy. And for us to have a prayerful, united front in prayer to say, Lord, what is it that I can do so that I can pray for all the brothers and sisters in the Lord, and also to be united with the church, to attend more often. But, you know, I hear statistics and I read statistics saying that Zoom calls are up with church, going to church services in this last 3 to 4 months. And that helps. However, it also helps to go and reach out and pray for other people on a Zoom call like what we're doing right now, or to reach out to family. I have a business partner who has family calls after services together on Sunday afternoons just to touch base with each other. I have a Sunday evening call with church leadership. I have Tuesday. My sons are going through a summer school of truth, going through the Bible on Monday through Friday right now. And it's only for 30 to 40 minutes, but I think that having the fellowship together, even if it's for 5 to 10 minutes via text message, is going to be critical right now when you're going through these time periods, because it's only through the body can we grow.
Yeah, and I agree. There is strength in unison. That is literally the motto on the Haitian flag. L'union fait la force. There is when two or three are gathered together, there is strength. That force comes together and it cannot be broken. And that's what we need more than ever right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Building community is so important. And I know I've built more community for me personally, not just on a regional basis here in San Diego, but also on an international basis. I've built a huge community, I think more so in the last 90 days than I ever thought I could in my previous 25 years of experience. So building that community is really important, and knowing, because there's a lot of people that are in our position, and to reach out in faith with other people, it can only strengthen our position.
Yeah, that's a good segue. Tell us about the SD Christian meetup group.
Thanks. Actually, it was interesting. The meetup.com started it, somebody else, about, I think, 5 years ago. The web page actually went dormant. And then Jeff Boyd, who's my business partner and colleague at Phase 4 Financial Solutions, picked it up and then had his first meeting. I didn't even know him at the time. I go to the first meeting and he goes, hey, we just restarted it. We're going to have this at our church location here in San Diego. And then shortly after the meeting, I said, Jeff, that meeting was great. It was awesome, actually. And I know what you need is help, because I know that you want to do this on your own. However, I think having a leadership team and building this up together, and that was, 3 years ago, I think, almost, is going to help strengthen everybody that attends. And so we've been running San Diego Christian Entrepreneurs for about 3 years. And surprisingly, we don't do very much advertising on it. People just find us. And faithfully, no matter what, even with no advertising, we always get 10 members that show up prior to COVID physically that would just come. And by faith, we always have, you know, 20 to 30 people showing up when we had the physical meetings. And it's just been an incredible opportunity for us to network and get together as brothers and sisters in Christ to say, hey, there's an opportunity for us to share the gospel at our workplace. And you can do this politically, correctly, and faithfully, and we'll help you through that.
Yeah, I was in search of masterminds. You're familiar with masterminds. Think and Grow Rich.
Absolutely.
Napoleon Hill talks about the power of a mastermind. When two or three come together, there's a third force that is created, right? There's a third mind that is created. Mm-hmm. And so I found the SD Christian Meetup on a Meetup website.
That's right.
I had just started my business and my podcast a year ago, and I was looking to collaborate. I was also looking to be surround myself with like-minded people, because entrepreneurship is not easy. Okay. No. It's not easy as an individual. It's not easy as a Christian. It's just, it comes with its own battle, but it's rewarding as well. So I wanted to equip myself and surround myself with believers.
Right. And one of the biggest challenges in having a Christian business is that for some reason there's been the reputation that doing business with Christian businesses all of a sudden has a negative rap. Not because they're Christian, but the way that people do business, there's a higher expectation. So when that expectation isn't met, either in values or some other format, then they say, oh, don't do business with Christian business owners because they just can't do what they say. Part of that is because of expectations. So what we do is we have an accountability group amongst the men and also amongst the women so that we can figure out what are the things that we're afraid of, you know, when things go wrong, or what are the things that are going wrong or right in your business so that we can help uplift and encourage all of the members to do business in a proper way in our values and our beliefs and our faith.
Yeah. And tell us a little bit about what is different with Christian-based businesses? What sets us apart?
I know that there's an expectation that as a Christian business owner, that people say, well, you shouldn't be lying and you shouldn't be stealing and cheating. In the process of doing business, I don't believe it's intentional. I really don't. I believe that because we all have opinions and standards that are different from one of another, that it's interpreted that way. And so you're thinking, you're lying. Why did you do it? Wait a second. I told you that it was going to be done this way. And so you have this disagreement. And when that disagreement happens, the negative emotions and the negative circumstance gets exacerbated to a higher level of understanding. And so it creates this negative tension. Mm-hmm. So usually as a small business owner or entrepreneur, you'll reach out to your friends. You just don't have a business network. Or a lot of people don't. Some people do. And I know that it's powerful to have a group of Christian business owners say, hey, wait a second, tell me about your situation. Because we have in our group, we have attorneys and financial advisors and accountants and other professionals, our members. And I know that we can reach out to say, wait a second, you know what? This was the interpretation of this customer. Is there something different that we need to be doing? Or what do we need to change? You know, because sometimes it is the problem of that business owner, you know, they didn't know what they didn't know. They didn't know that it was their disposition. And so having some accountability and meeting with each other and having some fellowship one of another can help mitigate against some of those problems.
Yeah, because regardless, we're in it to serve, right? Mm-hmm. And going back to Korean Christ-like, we're in it to serve, but also to make profit, to get reoccurring customers, to provide a great service and great product that delivers.
I often tell people about how Paul's family, Paul the Apostle in the New Testament, they were tent makers. And I'm not sure, but I bet you there were some angry customers or some disappointed customers along the way. And it wasn't Paul's. I bet you Paul had a high, you know, he was a upstanding. When you read the Gospels and the letters, he was a very high value, high moral, upstanding person. So that probably meant that as a business person, he had a higher level of product placement. And a lot of people don't look at it that way. But if you have to travel from place to place, what I tell people when he would travel from city to city, you don't have travelocity.com. You don't have some kind of email to communicate with people. You don't have the same banking system where you can go to an ATM or wire money. You have to hold cash. So with pirates and with thieves and with the mode of transportation, you have to be a great business person. And to be a great business person, you have to be organized and you have to be able to learn how to communicate across letters versus email. And so learning from the Gospels and how Paul the Apostle would do business, he would consistently communicate via letter. He would consistently have communication with the other people, you know, all the small people that we miss in the meeting when we read the New Testament. I know that we do the same thing now in our fellowship. We just have to be able to be better planners in small business.
Mm-hmm. And I hear customer service, customer service, customer service
mm-hmm.
is what I hear. Let's shift gears and talk about investing and sure. real estate. I mean, it's big and I want to know about now in this area, particularly during this time, what's your view on the market? Is it growing in San Diego? Is it declining? What's your state?
I think that if you're looking to buy, regardless of the city that you're in, it's always a great time to buy because nobody, in my opinion, should ever buy with a 6-month view. Mm-hmm. So I think if someone is in the market and they are financially ready to buy, then they should be buying real estate as quick and as early as possible to start their owner-occupied journey. Now, if they're looking to invest, then it's always a good time to invest as long as you start with the end in mind. So you always make money on the buy. That's the mantra in real estate that's talked about by a lot of investors. And so I've been very blessed in the fact that I've been able to be profitable on all of my real estate endeavors here in San Diego. I've only invested into, well, that's not true. I have a few out of the area, but primarily mostly in San Diego, and they've all been profitable.
When you say start with the end in mind, is that the exit strategy?
Part of it is, for example, some people want to buy and flip, meaning that they want to buy low, sell high in a short period of time. And so that's their business model. They buy low and they sell high. Some people want cash flow. So they want monthly income from investment properties. Then they invest into San Diego, not necessarily looking for a high yield or a high rate of return, but they know that they're going to get a little bit of cash flow, fully having an expectation that the values in Southern California or San Diego will increase. And so if you know what you're going to be buying as an investor, and or actually if you know what you want your yield to be, either in cash flow or in appreciation, then that would help any investor to figure out what is it they need to be looking for. Because otherwise, they can get caught in a myriad of infomercials and weekend real estate seminars and get all kinds of great ideas and all kinds of shiny objects. Shiny object syndrome becomes rampant and abundant in this business. And if you don't start with that end in mind, then you're going to get caught doing a million things, and it's going to get you nowhere. It's going to get you somewhere, but it's going to get you somewhere fairly slowly.
Yeah, you don't want to waste time and energy. So you want to learn from the right people. You want to learn from experience, because success leaves clues. You want to tap into those who come before you, who's learned the ropes.
That's right.
If I'm a buyer and I want to look into buying in San Diego, first of all, San Diego is like hot, right? It's houses are $500,000 starting point. They're super expensive. But as a buyer, what would I be looking for, right? What are some of the things in the CMA, like the comparative market analysis, that I would be looking for as a buyer?
Well, I think the main mantra of real estate is location, location, location. In your situation, if you know where you want to buy, you just have to figure out what is that price and what do I have to do to get into that marketplace. What I'm really well known for in the real estate coaching community, I have a few clients that I coach here in the United States and abroad internationally, is creative financing. So whether it's 100% financing, 125% financing, 200% financing, or whatever your situation, know the location that you want to buy, look into that price point, and then network with people that are around you so that you can figure out what it is that you need to qualify for that financing. And if you know what you want, because really in real estate, for most owner occupants, when they're a first time buyer, they're not really buying price. That's a function of it. But really what they're buying is payment. They want to know, what is my payment that I have to pay in a monthly payment that I have to pay? So the higher the price, the higher the payment, the lower the interest rate, the lower the payment. And as long as your employment allows you to have a monthly income, that's really what you're buying. So knowing that, knowing what the end in mind. So if you know what you want to pay, that's really going to start you off in the right direction of your price point and whether you're realistic in your location desires or not.
Right. So buy the payment, not the price.
That's right.
What can you afford on a monthly basis? Okay, that is insightful.
A lot of people really don't understand that. If you ever have heard, there's another guy, his name is Dave Ramsey. What he does is he talks about the baby steps. Baby step one of having $1,000, baby step two of having no consumer debt, baby step number three, having 6 months of savings, and then baby step number four, five, and six, beginning to on your retirement journey. And if you start with the end in mind of what you want to accomplish in your personal finances, it'll really help you on looking to figure out what is it that you want to do in your personal finances so you know how to get into the real estate purchase market or investment market, or even for your own retirement savings for that matter.
Yeah. And what do you typically, who you work with? Is it multifamily, single homes? What's your portfolio?
It's actually both. My personal portfolio is both houses and multifamily. Mm-hmm. I started in the single family business and recently have begun to migrate into small multifamily, 1 to 4 units.
Okay.
And I think that, for example, like I'm helping 2 first time buyers right now who want to look at cash flow. One's a young couple in their 20s, and the other one is a young man in his 20s, and they decided that they're going to buy 1 to 4 units here in San Diego. Because you, with FHA, you can go up to $1.1 million with only 3.5% down.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't know that. They don't even know that the city of San Diego or La Mesa or National City or Escondido or Vista or San Marcos, I mean, the various municipalities within San Diego County offer down payment assistance for that purpose. And so for owner-occupied.
For multifamily or for single family?
Both.
Both, huh? Okay.
Yeah. And they're just uninformed. And it's not, you know, and I think, this goes back to a lot of things, but being educated and uninformed are 2 different aspects of our education life. You don't know what you don't know. You only know what you know. And so if you look at the aspect of having the openness and willingness to learn more, then it opens up a brand new horizon of opportunities that you, as long as you are open to it, the creation of opportunity is definitely there and open and willing by people and or municipalities.
Yeah, and asking the right questions.
Oh, totally, totally, totally. And if you don't know how to ask the right questions, I'm going to tell you right now, and it's really kind of sad, in the real estate industry, people ask you what you want. And then it becomes, I'm going to call it the hamburger mentality. I haven't done it yet, but I compare a lot of things to food. You walk into a restaurant and you fast food place, I want a hamburger and a Coke. And they'll serve you a hamburger and a Coke. And then that's if you drink soda, that is. But really, it's like, I like orange soda. And then I look at the person next to me, did you want a Coke or an orange soda? Well, actually, orange soda sounds better. Why didn't you order that? Because I'm so used to ordering Coke. And so same thing goes in real estate. So what do you want? I want this house and I want this and that. And then they're like, well, is it possible that you could have wanted that? And they're like, yeah. You mean the bigger yard or this extra amenity, of whether it was a pool or a security system or views or whatever? Yeah, I just didn't think about that. And so finding the right advisor so that they can ask you the right questions is equally important.
To help you find the right vibe. Because it sounds like if you don't know, then you can't ask it, right? That's the same logic. You don't know what you don't know.
That's right.
You don't know it's available. You don't know it's an option. It's not an option because you're not aware of it.
I often hear about husbands and wives wanting to buy a fixer-upper so that they can buy it at a cheaper cost. And so I say, okay, well, let's just go down this road real quick. As a husband, you want to buy cheap and you want to get as inexpensive as possible. And the wife wants all the nice things. So the husband goes and says, yes, let's buy this fixer-upper. I'll do it myself, but I'll do it cheaper. And then over the course of 3 to 6 months, they have disagreements. I want this paint color. I want that specific molding or baseboard, or I wanted the landscaping done this way. And after multiple trips to Lowe's, Home Depot, and or certain disagreements and nights on the couch, because then the husband says, I can't believe that it was supposed to cost this much. My expectation was this. And then we just increased it by another $200. And so after multiple disagreements, that my response typically is, well, you should have just bought the house that was upgraded. You would have saved yourself 6 months of grief.
Right. Right. And it goes into time and energy.
Oh, my goodness. The emotional energy.
Biggest asset. It's not monetary.
No, because money's not emotional. People are.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you step into that, understanding that it's yourself that's emotional that makes these decisions, you could be the most rational accountant or engineer. But when it comes to the dollars and cents, it becomes very personal. And so your emotions get real riled up. It's real interesting that if you didn't think you were emotional, you begin to learn real quickly how emotional you can be.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's well put. Thank you for that insight. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned your real estate coaching. Do you work with both buyers and sellers?
I do. I'm not a real estate agent, by the way, at all. And when I work with sellers, I just ask them what they want and then I refer them to somebody.
I see.
Yeah. And working with buyers, I'll be able to coach with them because I've been a mortgage broker for the greater part of 20 years. So working with buyers and investors alike, it's been pretty easy for me because I'm an active investor. So I can coach investors. Or if someone's a first-time buyer, I can coach them as well.
Mm-hmm. And what about the Dave Ramsey in the program with Jeff? Tell us about what that is.
Dave Ramsey, for anybody who knows who he is, he's a podcaster, talks about budgeting, which is something I've always been able to talk about with all my clients for the last 20 years as well. Jeff's been affiliated with Dave Ramsey as a SmartVestor Pro for over 15 years. And so we've been able to talk to people who are interested in talking with Jeff and I. I have a unique, interesting experience in real estate. And Jeff, as a certified financial planner, has been affiliated with Dave and talking about financial planning, talking about his baby steps, talking about various financial plans. And so we've been able to mix the two together very diversely and very uniquely. Financial advisors don't have a lot of experience in real estate. They just refer them to a realtor and a mortgage broker or loan officer, and they just let them go. And with my experience in real estate, we've been able to put both of our experiences together. Because when people talk about making real estate as an investment for their owner-occupied residence or as an investment, we've been able to utilize the function of both of our experiences and marry them together. And it's been really a great opportunity to work together with him on it.
Mm. Yeah, that's a great way to couple it because it's a one-stop shop. You know, you provide the knowledge for real estate, for financing, and that goes hand in hand.
And Jeff and I are really patient in working with people. For example, it doesn't matter. I mean, I've worked with couples or individuals where they have $15,000 to $20,000 of debt. And so we just work on paying off that debt. And we don't charge them a fee for that. We just give them a plan and we help them out with that so they can go and buy their first home or start on their retirement. or if they want to figure out whether they want to put money away for their kids and they're just starting out, or if they want to put money into their retirement plan.
Yeah.
So Jeff's able to help navigate that specific portion of it. And I'll be able to coach them on the budgeting part of it at the very beginning of it, and then move into the home purchase process if that's something that they want to do.
That's very neat. Now, you're very, you're busy, you're doing a lot, you're coaching, you have the partnerships. Tell us about your morning routine. How do you get up, dress up, and show up?
Thanks. Well, the first thing is you got to wake up and be grateful. So I wake up and say, thank you, Lord, for this day. And thank you just for all your provision and what you're going to be able to provide for the day. I don't know what lies in store for me and my emotions and how I'm going to make decisions, but I know that I trust that you're going to get me through. And there's different variations of how I'll pray that in the morning. In the ministry that I belong to, we have what's called the Daily Word for Morning Revival. I'll get into that, touching the Bible and the verses, and then having some ministry dispensed into us as some living bread. And then I actually have a list, handwritten list of things that I need to accomplish. Mm. And sometimes it's digital, like my calendar. And I make mistakes sometimes, you know, for example, if I need to do an AM meeting, and sometimes it says PM.
That happened, guys. That happened to us.
So, you know, I do make mistakes every once in a while in grammatically or reading wise. And so, you know, that's why I handwrite things down and have a digital stamp with that as well. And so my morning routine, on top of, I already had my water for this morning.
Nice.
And devotional, and my time of confessing, my time to go before and say, I'm still fallen, right? And I'm sorry, and sorry before man, sorry before God, and for him to renew my heart and to renew my mind.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Attitude of gratitude carries you throughout the day. So tell us how can we connect with you?
Sure. They can email me. My personal email is michaelzhao@yahoo.com, because I don't know how people want to contact me, either for spiritual help or for business help. So michaelzhao@yahoo.com. And then if it's business, then I'll direct them to my business numbers and email addresses. And if you'd like to call me via cell phone, you can text me at 619-889-8817.
Very kind of you. I mean, you are a well-connected man. And I really appreciate your content today, and for coming and sharing with us and being open with the audience today.
It's my pleasure. It's a blessing to get to know you deeper and to able to help others be led to the Spirit and the Word of God.
Yes, yes. Well said. Thank you for your time, Mike.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, morning enthusiasts. Do you struggle to get out of bed in the morning? How about losing your energy by midday? Do you experience brain fog in the morning? Or lack of motivation? Well, you are not alone. I heard you loud and clear, and that's why I created the Hit Savers app. I have great news, it is live. So go to the Google Play Store and the Apple Store to download it for your best morning routine ever. You'll get more energy, mental clarity, productivity, and it will even position you to find your purpose. That's right, Hit Savers will prime you to get up, dress up, and show up in your life every single day. Go to www.looneedlewis.com/hitsaversapp to download it for free today. I'll see you in there.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate. But you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.